You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
So let me say, is there a prescription for thriving in the Word of God? And the scriptures say, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does he prospers. The scriptures speak very specifically, that if we meditate on the Word of God every day, do you know what every day means? You meditate on the Word of God every day, and you will be greatly blessed. And it says that when we do meditate on the law of the Lord, it talks about this day and night. The scripture puts it two ways, day and night and every day. And what is meditation? It's when you take the Word of God and you say, Lord, speak to me from this passage, speak to me. And you start reading where you left off the day before. And personally, you know, however you want to read this, that's fine with me. I just want you reading it. But read it systematically. At least choose a book and work your way through it. I start in Genesis chapter 1. When I read through to Revelation 22, I'm done and I start again. I've been doing this for well over 40 years, every day. And you say, Lord, speak to me. Lord, speak. And then your eyes will start, as you read a verse, and then you start thinking about it. Say, Lord, what does this mean? Speak to me. Then you read the next verse, speak to me, and all of a sudden your eyes are going to get caught on a verse, and your eyes will be drawn back, and the Lord will begin to speak to you by the power of his Holy Spirit. He communicates to us through the scriptures. When everybody else is drying up and withering away, you will not be if you're in the Word of God. Before you is your life. If you take up this pattern today of meditating on the scriptures, a pattern that I started when I was your age, when I was an undergraduate, I started this pattern of every day in the Word of God. It will change your life forever. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you would be careful to do according to all that's written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have success. Success is much greater than money. It is a relationship with God that when it goes deep, the things of the world have very little interest to you. It is this depth of relationship. You meditate on it day and night. You're careful now to do according to all that's written in it, because when we read the Bible, it's like, uh-oh, I have to change my life. And that's good. It causes us to change our life in conformity to what God wants, because every word in this book is true, absolutely every word. And if you have people that think that they're so smart that they figured this thing out and they can figure out what's of God and what's not, what's a scribal insertion, get over it. Every word is true. This has not changed. This book is true. Forever and ever, it is true. And I have worked with young people, and when they come around and they start repenting and saying, I am sorry, Lord, for doubting any word in this book, boom, all of a sudden the Word of God opens to them. When we take the Word of God and take it seriously, that every word in this book is true, this is God's word to humanity. Every word is true. And when we take it seriously, God works in our lives. It is powerful. If you doubt this word, you have lost all high ground. This word is true. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. God will give you more insight than all your teachers. And he doesn't say just your Bible teachers. He says all your teachers, if you make the Word of God your daily meditation. And it happens every day. It is my meditation all the day, every day, every day, every day of your life. You make this Word of God your meditation every day. You take this word and you meditate on it. It will change your life. Lots of people come to me for counseling and I tell them, look, you take this verse, you're having trouble with your wife, you take this verse that you are to love your wife as Christ loved the church. And I want you to meditate on that verse for 15 minutes every day for a month and then come back to me and report. He says, everything has changed. Everything has changed in my marriage. Why? Because it's the Word of God. This is what happens in our lives. It's powerful. God works. You take this word, you meditate on it, you take it seriously, and God works in your life. I've seen it over and over again in my life and in people around me. We take this word of God seriously, and God works. The excitement of a scientist with faith. 1993, I was invited back to Purdue, where I had gotten my PhD, and I was praying that morning in a room, as I always pray before I give a lecture. Whether it's a Bible lecture or a chemistry lecture, I'm praying, Lord, hit him with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I was reading this verse that day. Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you'll not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will happen. And God started to raise my faith. I said, Lord, I pray that the seminar that I give in that department today would be the best seminar ever given in that department. And I said, Lord, how am I going to know? How am I going to know it's the best? The department's 100 years old. How am I going to know it's the best lecture in the department? Only you're the one who's seen it all. And I said, Lord, I pray that my professor, and this was the one with whom I had gotten my PhD when I was at Purdue, H. Nagishi, in 2010, he won the Nobel Prize in chemistry. But in 1993, he was just a regular guy. And he used to say, when I was a graduate student, no matter what good result I brought him, he would say, pretty good for your level. And I never got past the man's waist. And I said, none of this for your level stuff. Lord, I pray that if it's the best seminar, that he would say that it was super, that it was a super seminar. Well, I gave the lecture. I got done. That Japanese man was sitting right on the front row in the seat he always sits in. He stood up. He raised his hand. He goes, super, super. Sitting right next to him was another man, H.C. Brown, who discovered the hydroboration reaction. He won the Nobel Prize in 1979. He was in his 80s at the time. He was sitting right behind Professor Nagishi, right on the end. And I stepped down off the stage, and I shook his hand, and I said, thank you for coming to the seminar today. And he held on to my hand. He said, I want you to know something. That was the best seminar I've ever seen in my life. And I said, thank you. It's very kind of you to say that. And in typical Nobel Prize winning fashion, he said, I'm not saying it to be kind, I really mean it. God blesses. I don't care what your career is, God blesses and he anoints. Application of the scriptures in my career. One day I was upset with a colleague, and he was telling students about me and saying things, because my career was rocketing and his was not. I went, and one student came to me, she said, she's always saying stuff about you. So I went across the hall and I knocked on his door, and I was going to really give it to him. And I stood outside his door, he wasn't in. And I had been memorizing with my children from Luke chapter 6. I had been memorizing from the entire chapter with my children at the time. But it said, but I say to you here, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll do that. And I started praying for him every day, because I always go to the campus. Since I was an undergrad, I usually go to the chapel on campus and pray. And I was teaching at that time at the University of South Carolina. And I would go right up there to this chapel, because this chapel was never used. It was only used for weddings and funerals. Other than that, it was mine. And I'd go right up there, kneel down, and pray. And I started praying for him every day. His career just took off. He got a big NIH grant, big NSF grant, and after a year and a half, he was doing so well that he got an offer from another university, and he took the offer, and he left, and I was so happy. Because God had gotten hold of my heart and dealt with this problem in my heart and then could release me of this thing. When we take the Word of God seriously, God really blesses. The Scriptures are our life. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, Moses is summarizing 40 years of instruction. I summarize 4 years of instruction when a student of mine is going up to give their PhD defense, and I'll say a little bit about them. How do you summarize 40 years of instruction? Here's how Moses summarized 40 years of instruction. When Moses had finished speaking all these words to all Israel, he said to them, take to your heart all the words with which I am warning you today, which you shall command carefully. You shall command your sons to observe carefully, even all the words of this law. For it is not an idle word for you. Indeed, it is your life. The Scriptures are our life. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the Scriptures are your life. And you can choose to neglect it, and you will be neglecting your life. This day should change the pattern in your life. that daily you will meditate on this word, because this word is our life. It's our life. Creativity. Where does creativity come from? I wrote an article, The Genesis of Creativity, at one point in my career, where I talked to some of my most creative graduate students over the years and postdocs. The scriptures tell us. So in Exodus chapter 31, verse 2 and 3, it says, "See, I've called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all craftsmanship." This was the man. Bezalel was the man. He was a craftsman who Moses commissioned to build a tabernacle. He is the first person in the Bible where there's a reference to him being filled with the Spirit of God. The first person in the Bible to be filled with the Spirit of God was not, where it says he was filled with the Spirit, was a craftsman. And he took him, he says, "I know him, I know his father, I know his grandfather. And I've given him the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge." And then you read about him in Exodus 31 and in Exodus 36. He could work in gold, in silver, and in bronze, all three metals. He could work in stone cutting, in stone setting. He could work in wood, in fabric, and in perfuming, and he had the ability to teach it. He was the Renaissance man. It's amazing. I pray, Lord, make me like Bezalel. Make my students in the lab like Bezalel. Give us creativity across many different areas. And guess what? He does. He does. Because it says in James chapter 4, "You do not receive because you do not ask." The primary reason why we do not receive answers to prayer is because we flat out do not ask. God fills with creativity. How do you attain peace? I've never known anybody to say, I hope I have a terrible day today. I hope I get hit by a car and I get, you know, COVID and I get it. Everything goes wrong. Nobody wants that. Everybody wants peace. How do you have peace in your life? Paul said, "The things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me," that's Paul, "practice these things and the God of peace will be with you." You practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Peace comes through practice. If you practice what I'm sharing with you today, which is an absolute treasure, it's revealed in the Word of God, it will change your life. And you will bring peace upon your home, peace upon your marriage, peace upon your children. It will change your life if you daily meditate on the Scriptures. So what do? You wake up 20 minutes earlier than you normally wake up. And you spend time reading the Bible. You get into the Word of God, and you pick a book, and you start reading through that book in the Bible, and you pick up where you left off the day before, and you say, "Lord, speak to me, speak to me." And you read it slowly, pensively, deliberately. I don't get through the Bible in a year. If God wanted me to get through in a year, He would have said, "Finish this book in a year." He didn't say that. I can spend a week in a paragraph until I feel fed from it, and then I move on. You read it slowly and say, "Lord, speak to me. Speak to me," as Samuel did. I want to leave you with this, because my greatest struggle when I was your age was in the sexual realm of the battle in the mind. When I got saved, I was delivered from pornography the day I got saved when I was 18 years old. But the battle in the mind continued. And so I've come up with a teaching called Scriptural Sexual Ethics. It's on my website, jmtour.com. If you just Google Jim Tour, it'd come up. You go to the personal topic section, audio files, and it covers this, and you can find great strength through this. And it's particularly good also for young people that are getting married or in marriage. There's an introduction on scriptural sexual ethics. And then it's redemption is not a sham. There's victory over lust. If you think there is no victory over lust, there is, because redemption is not a sham. The true meaning of manhood. What does it mean to be a man? We are so starved on what it really means to be a man. But Jesus was our model of the perfect man. So much so, when his body was shredded by a scourging, he comes out of that scourging covered with blood. And he walks back into Pilate's presence, and Pilate looks at him and he says, "Behold the man. Behold the man." Total self-donation, one for the other. If this thought, if this word, if this action is not in the other's best interest, it is not the love of God. It is total self-donation, one for the other. That will change your life. That will change your marriage. The true meaning of womanhood, or woman, God's masterpiece. God's masterpiece in women. If the creation was Adam, of Adam, was great, where he kept getting more and more complex and more refined, the last was woman. God's masterpiece was woman. What does it mean to be a woman? Converting the Christian bedroom from hell on earth to heaven on earth. And what's the line for the unmarried? And marriage is not a sham. Lowering the divorce rate from the current 52% to the extraordinary number of less than 1%. Less people who practice what I cover in this series, it's a 6-part series, and you need to listen to it part 1 through part 6 in that order. I know students are nonlinear learners, you click everywhere. You won't get it. And each teaching is about 30 minutes, and it's audio. You just plug it in your ear. You listen to this. People who practice this have less than 1% divorce rate. It's not family devotions, although those are good, and I had those with my family all the time. It's not that. You go through this series, you find out. When I was 18, I came to the Lord. And this verse is the defining verse, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's a confession with the mouth and believing that he's been risen from the dead, physically from the dead. Thomas said, "I won't believe it unless I stick my finger into the holes in his hands and unless I stick my hand into the hole in his side." And then he appeared to Thomas. He says, "Thomas, come here. You stick your finger into the hole in my hands. And now you stick your hand into the hole in my side." This could not have been an imposter walking around with a hole in his side like that. This was Jesus physically risen from the dead. This is not just a spiritual thing. This is physically risen from the dead. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And that's what gets us to God. And on November 7th, 1977, I was in that room, room 1812 of the Lawrenson Dormitory. I got on my knees and I said, "Lord, forgive me because I'm a sinner. Forgive me, Lord." And this amazing peace started coming over me. And this forgiveness started showering upon me. I was all alone in my room. And then all of a sudden, to my right, somebody was standing. Jesus was in my room. And there was no fear. Just love being poured out. I don't know how long I was on my knees, just weeping before him. Pure joy. All I remember is getting up and wiping my tears. I'm from a Jewish home in New York City. What am I going to say? Something happened to me on that day. You can have that too. If you do not know the Lord, I invite you to send me an email to tour@drjamestour.org. If you do not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, if you do not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, please email me. Please send me an email. I will meet with you by Zoom for 1 hour. In that 1 hour, you will get saved. I see it all the time. You will get saved. If you do not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, you give me 1 hour with you, you'll believe in the physical resurrection. If you already believe, I can't give you that hour, but if you want somebody to talk to, if you don't have somebody here to talk, I will line up for you to talk with somebody. But this invitation is for the unbelievers here because I want to see you saved.